You know, they have found a missing part of Scripture that explains why it was a rib that God used to create Eve. It says in this missing part of Scripture that God says to Adam, "Now I know that you need a partner, so I'm going to make this thing for you called a woman. And she is going to be great. You're going to love this. She's going to take care of all the cooking and all the cleaning. And you don't have kids yet, but someday you're going to have kids. She's going to take care of all the kids. You don't have clothes yet, but someday you're going to have clothes. She's going to do all your cleaning and ironing of the clothes and all that kind of stuff. You're going to love it." And Adam said, that sounds pretty good. And God said, "Well, but she's not going to be cheap. She's going to cost you something. She's going to cost you an arm and a leg." And Adam said, "An arm and a leg? That's a lot. What can I get for a rib?" Okay. We're really very blessed to have the readings that we do today as we observe Respect Life Sunday. Because if we ask ourselves, when do we really learn to respect all human life as a blessing from God? When do we lay that foundation that says that each human life created in the image and the likeness of God is sacred, and that any offense against human life is an offense against God? Well, I think most of us would say that we learn that in our families. Growing up at home, you know, watching our parents, watching our grandparents, maybe seeing our younger siblings be born, learning how to live life and how to live our faith, this is the way that we come to understand the sanctity of human life, from conception to natural death, right? And so it should come as no surprise to us that the devil hates our families. He hates good Christian families. And as he tries to grow this culture of death in which we live, he does everything he possibly can to attack the family. Now, some of these attacks are they're really kind of part of these pro-life issues. So, you know, we talk about in Respect Life Month, we think about legalized abortion, such a great tragedy. Legalized euthanasia in some states now, again, a great tragedy, because these are offenses against life. But really, these are also attacks against the family, because almost no one ever chooses to have an abortion, gives into that temptation, or chooses to kill their parent, their grandparent, without first redefining what human life means. People say, "Well, that little ball of cells can't really be a human life. You know, that child in the womb, it can't talk, it can't think, it can't move around, it doesn't have any quality of life." And we say the same thing about elderly people, right? That person's life, they have a very poor quality of life. They're always in pain. They can't enjoy their life anymore. They can't take care of themselves anymore. We just want to put them out of their misery. And see, when we do that, when we define life not by who we are as children of God, as made in the image and likeness of God, but as by what we can do, our functionality, what we're doing is devaluing the family. Because what reason do we have now to really care about our infant children? What's the big difference between children in the womb and children right after they're born? Not much. What reason do we have to respect the elderly and follow their advice and learn from their example when they can't do anything hardly anymore for themselves, right? So when we define human life and the value of human life based on our functionality, then we are also degrading the value of family life. And that's exactly what the devil wants. Now, some of the devil's attacks don't have anything to do with these life issues specifically, and this is where we hear in our readings today. We hear in the gospel Jesus present his teaching that for Christians, divorce is impossible. Now, I'm not here to tell you that if you've ever been through a divorce in your life, that you're living a life of sin. These are very individual cases. We have to deal with them on an individual basis. Obviously, if you have been divorced and are now remarried outside the church without the annulment process and all of that, then yes, Jesus' message for you today is that you are, in fact, living a life of adultery, and it is a call to conversion. So if you find yourself in that situation, please come talk to me or Father Jim, Deacon Greg. We can help you begin the process of restructuring your life to be in line with the gospel. But the point is, whether we feel that our divorce was justified or not, even if it wasn't our choice, with all this no-fault divorce stuff that goes on in our country today, even if it wasn't our choice, we have to admit that divorce is always something that degrades the value of family life, that degrades our social ideals and goals about what the family does. Because what divorce ultimately teaches is this is about what is making me the most happy, what is best for me, right? Not what is best for my spouse, not what is best for my children, what is best for me. When Jesus teaches us instead that we should put others before ourselves, that we should lay down our lives for others. Now, understandably, many people will say, well, the reason we got divorced was because we loved our children and we wanted to protect them from all the fighting and bad things that were going on in our marriage. And that's understandable. You are, of course, in a way, protecting them. But you're still, at the same time, teaching them this lesson that it kind of degrades the value of family life. You're teaching them it's really about, again, what is best for me, not what is best for the family as a whole. If we really wanted to protect our children, what would we do? We'd have the humility to ask for help. So many people feel that there is a great stigma against getting counseling, some kind of marriage counseling or family counseling. If you think you can get through life without some kind of counseling or some kind of mentoring from someone else, you are crazy. I mean, the life of a priest is not really any easier. I go to counseling. I see a psychiatrist every once in a while because life doesn't give you a manual, a handbook. We don't always know the right thing to do, and marriage is not easy. We all know that. And so if we really want to give our children the right example, teach them the right lesson, then let's have the humility to admit that, you know, no divorce ever happens with just one person being at fault. We all need counseling. We all need help. We all need advice on how to live our lives. So that is what we as a parish need to do too. We need to do our best to support those who are going through difficult times in their marriages. And maybe you've been through a divorce in yourself already. The message here for you is not you're such a failure. The message is, well, God has given you this opportunity. You've made mistakes. You've learned from those mistakes. Now, how are you going to help other people keep from making the same mistakes? Are you going to use your life experience as a gift to the parish, as a gift to others, to help them not take sides, you know, oh, I can't believe your spouse said that or did that, but instead work to try and heal those divisions that arise in family life. If we do that, then we build up the family instead of allowing the devil and society to tear the family apart. That's what Jesus really is trying to teach us. And the other great weapon of the devil is pointed out by our first reading today, when that weapon is contraception, right? And many of us probably use contraception as just part of life today. But as it says in Genesis, the two of them became one flesh. And it is exactly in that moment when a husband and a wife enter into that spousal intimacy and really become one flesh that the family becomes most like God. Think about the Holy Trinity. You've got the Father and the Son, and they love each other. And their love for each other is so powerful and complete and divine that it is another person. It is the Holy Spirit. That's what makes the Holy Trinity the Holy Trinity. Well, in the same way, when a husband and a wife love each other in that unique way that they can in marriage, they are able to cooperate with God in bringing into existence a new human life. A person who is immortal, who will live forever, either in heaven or in hell. You know, what a great gift. Jesus talks about the great gift of children in the gospel today. Let the little children come to me. He says, there's nothing greater that we can achieve, really, in this world than to cooperate with God in bringing into existence a new life and raising that life in the faith. So that's the beauty of our human sexuality. And when we use contraception, we undercut that. We cut God right out of that most sacred thing. And we again say the family is not about imitating God, but the family is about getting what I want when I want it. Now, people will sometimes say, understandably, well, if you use natural family planning to avoid conception, it's just doing the same thing. Well, yes and no. The no piece is that you are having to control yourself. You are having to sacrifice at times, to deny yourself, and you are living in obedience with God's plan, God's natural plan for our human bodies and for the human family. And so in that way, we express our submission, our obedience to God's will. So again, it becomes about God, about building up the family in connection with God, in union with God, and not simply about getting what we want when we want it. And so these are the attacks that the devil often uses to help to cause us to redefine what human life really is, to cause divorces in our families, to use contraception as a way to undermine the holiness of the family. But we the Christian people of God, we have to build up our families. Pray together, especially in this month of October, pray the rosary together. Eat together. Spend time together, you know. Put away some time during the day, all your devices. The kids won't like it, but you know that it's good for them. And just be together as a family. Come here to church together as a family, and let us place ourselves before the altar of God and ask that our families will be images of the Holy Family, that it will be about the life of Christ lived out in love. You know, again, if you think of Adam and Eve at the very beginning, their love for each other, what was it like? It was free. It was faithful. It was exclusive. It was indestructible. It was fruitful. Well, whose love does that sound like? Sounds like the love of God, because it is. That's what marriage, that's what the family is intended to represent, the love of God. If that's what our families can be about, our foundation will be firm. But if we give in to the devil's temptations, then he has a much easier time destroying all human life. So let us put ourselves under the mantle of Our Lady of Guadalupe and pray for the protection of all human life and for the protection of our families.